As those that are in the foyer are making their way in. Isn't it a beautiful day? Holiday weekend. Nobody's supposed to labor, so if you've been laboring, you need to just lay it down because it's Labor Day now and it's over with. You got to rest. David Fountain put in 74 hours this week, so he says he's ready for a day of rest. If you would, let's stand. And whether we have people that are traveling, visiting family, or vacationing, whatever it may be, you've made a decision today to be in the house of God. And God wants to meet your every need today. He is within you and has given you those things that are there, so you are to be grateful and thankful for that he has provided, and put it into practice. And this time of worship is a time to release, because you brought with you gifts and talents and callings that the entire body of Christ needs today. So I ask you, as we worship, that you release that. Just say, God, I release that you've given to me. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house to worship. Lord, I release today the gifts and the talents and the callings that you put upon me so that others can receive. And as we all do that, Father, Lord, we partake of you in Jesus' name.
about love today that our friend Ralph Martin posted this week and sent to me. And I have just been saying this out loud every day and carrying it with me and meditating on it and how it just daily changes my perspective on everything. So it's his version of the 23rd Psalms. And it says, "Love is my shepherding guide. And from this particular knowing and accepting this as my truth, all of my desires are met. My pastors, which are my mind's ideas, are living as new dawns of light that break forth upon me every day. Every morning, my mind becomes renewed, making the waters of my spirit flow deep and still. As peace overcomes all doubts within me, my mind is restored back to its original purpose every morning, making my life pathways that day well lit for me to see every step that I'm taking. For the sake of love's name, I know what is real and actively alive within me every awakening moment. Whenever I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I know and accept this is only an illusion from my past or an illusional fear about my future. I fear no evil, neither do I question my security. For every breath I take is filled with wisdom and knowledge of a bountiful love, which I know and accept as my banner that overshadows me wherever I go on this journey of mine. Love has comforted me. Love enables me as I take my fill at this love feast located at love's bountiful table. And there the light of love fills up my soul. My cup of appreciation is full and overflowing as gratitude for all things in my life. All the days that I'm alive, I will purposefully set myself in love. And by this I know always that goodness, mercy, peace, and joy shall follow me. And forever I will dwell as I am the habitation of the Lord." And we're going to sing, "It Is Well," and through it all, my eyes are on you. And to me, this is what that looks like. My eyes are on you. I choose every day to set my mind on you, to be renewed, to allow you, Father, to come and flow to me, in me, through me, and from me, so that all fear just is diminished. Thank you for your presence, Father. We love you. We pour out our gratefulness, our thankfulness, our appreciation, and our praise this morning. And we receive you. And we will not fight it. Our hearts are yours. Unrelented, our hearts are yours. Thank you, Father.
Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being there with us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Shall we go on?
expectation of the best is yet to come, Father. The excitement and the joy that you bring and the meaning to our lives. Fill us up. We are overflowing with joy. Thank you for your peace and your presence. We love you.
Good job. Good morning. How's everybody? Where's everybody? Let me tell you where everybody is, okay? Number one, I kind of like on Labor Day weekends and Memorial Day when there's a lot of empty seats because it tells me the economy's a lot better. So that's good, right? People have money to travel. Now, let me tell you why there's a lot of empty seats outside of people traveling. They are so mad at Comcast, they couldn't come to church. I mean, bottom line, they're just mad at Comcast because they couldn't watch Georgia football, and they are really, really upset. That is sad, isn't it? Is it sad or not? I want to give you two messages this morning. This one's free, okay? This is the first one, and it's free. We need to grow up. If you get mad at a cable company, you got a problem. There was a flight years ago when Wi-Fi first came on airplanes, and the pilot came on and he said, after they got up in the air and everything was working, he says, now you can go on Wi-Fi. Now we have Wi-Fi on airlines, and people pulled out their phones, their computers, and they go on Wi-Fi. And 5 minutes later, the Wi-Fi shut off, and everybody was just murmuring, complaining. When 5 minutes earlier, they didn't even know they had Wi-Fi on the plane. That's how quick you can go from here to here, that quick. You know, you got a cell phone that you're talking on, and you have a drop call. And you get mad because you got a drop call. You get all upset when you're holding in your hand a device that's sending a signal to a satellite in outer space, hits the satellite, comes back to Earth, and you're able to talk to somebody in Africa or all around the world, and we murmur and complain and are ungrateful because it goes out for a moment. Really? Are you with me this morning how we can go from here to here so quickly and be so ungrateful and unthankful for all that we really have at our disposal? I mean, most of the time it works pretty well, doesn't it? Come on. Most of the time it works. Most of the time you can communicate. I mean, most of the time it's okay. But it just goes to show you and show us how quickly we can shift from being very grateful and thankful for the wonderful life we have to being so ungrateful and unthankful just because of a little inconvenience for a moment. Right? We did old school last night. We just sat with a radio and listened to it. Man, that was, and trying to imagine what was really happening on the field. It was quite an interesting thing to go back in time. Just, and I realize how old I'm getting. I remember when we couldn't watch, the only time we could watch Georgia football was on Sunday after church. And Vince Dooley had a program where they showed every offensive play of the University of Georgia the day before. And that's the only time we got to see the University of Georgia, maybe once other time in the whole season. So, but anyway, be grateful. Stop complaining over silly, silly stuff. Stop complaining over silly, silly stuff. You know, all I have to do is walk down the hall and walk by Mike's room and stop complaining about Comcast being down. That's all I had to do. All I had to do is just think for a moment of the condition of my best friend of a lifetime. and stop being silly over stuff that don't matter. That really, 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 really doesn't matter. Really doesn't. Share a message with you today, a talk with you today that God gave me. We're agents of transformation or we're agents of glorification. I want you to memorize that statement because I want you to leave from here realizing every single day that you are alive and you're walking and you're moving on this planet, that you are agents sent from heaven to transform this earth and transform this world. You're an agent to bring glory to every aspect of creation. And I'm going to give you a definition of glory that I've never used before. And glory is the living presence of God. The living presence of God. Now, I emphasize the word living because, see, everything that deteriorates and decays, it comes out of death. But everything that is alive and vibrant, it comes out of life. And there's energy, a good energy to it. And we either have a living presence in our life or we have a not-so-living presence in our life. Something is emanating from us that's good and holy and righteous and pure and positive and grateful and thankful, or we got something emanating from our life that's just the opposite of that. And we have to decide every day which is it going to be. You know, marriages can deteriorate because they go not from a living relationship with each other, but to a, how many know you can be in the same home with somebody and not be with somebody? You can be in somebody's presence and yet not be in their presence. You can be with them but yet not be with them. Just because they're there doesn't mean they're there. And what happens is the life aspect of it, some way, somehow, slipped away. And so I want to share with you this morning three things. This is kind of deep. It's okay. You can handle deep stuff on Sunday morning sometimes, can't you? I'm going to share three things. I want you to write these down or memorize them. Just remember them. Say, I'm a king, I'm a priest, and I'm a prophet. Bible says he's made us a kingdom of priests unto our God. We are kings and priests. If Jesus is a king and he lives within us, how many know that you're not just a king's kid, you're a king? You with me? Because if you belong to a king, you're going to be a king. And so if Christ is in us, we're not just king's kids. I love that phrase. It sounds good, but we're kings. Now, we may be a king's kid because we hadn't come to realization and grown up and matured enough to know that we are kings. And so if I'm seeing myself as a king's kid, it means I haven't come to a place of maturity to realize I'm more than a king's kid. I'm a king. He put me here to rule and reign. Before I get to other scriptures I gave Jason, I want to read this scripture out of Revelation chapter 5. And John's having this revelation of Christ, and it's not a revelation of end times. The book of Revelation is not about end times. It's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. It starts out in the very first verse, and it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We just sang a song about the unveiling of love. God, love is real. And so it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 5, he sees a lot of things that are strange and different. And they're strange and different because he's having to see them from a perspective he hadn't seen them before. And he's not seeing them from the perspective of being someone who has been banished to an island, who was, first of all, the only disciple that was not martyred was John. They tried. They put him in boiling oil, and he did not die. And the law and the rule then was, if it doesn't work, you can't do it again. And so they couldn't do it again. So they put him on the Isle of Patmos to an exile. And here's John. I think if anybody had something to complain about, I would think it would be John, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm the beloved of Jesus. I'm his favorite one. Yeah, I'm the one that he left in charge of his mother. And I've served them all these years, and now they try to kill me, and they put me in boiling oil, and now they banish me to an island. And the Bible says, on the Lord's day, he was so ungrateful and murmuring and complaining that he couldn't stand it. No, it said on the Lord's day, he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And when he was in the spirit on the Lord's day, he heard something, and he started seeing some stuff. And then he starts seeing a lot of things. But in Revelation chapter 5, it says, you are worthy to take the scroll, talking about Jesus, and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God. Every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they shall reign on earth. You have caused them to become a kingdom or kings and priests unto our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Say, reign on the earth. God has called all of us to reign on the earth, to be overcomers, to take dominion. I'm going to give you three theologies that exist today. You fit in one of these categories. I guarantee you, if you're a believer, you fit in one of these categories. You believe one of these three things. Number one, you believe that there's going to be a rapture of the church. God's going to take all the believers out. And then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, whatever that means. And then he's going to burn the world earth up. And then he's going to get a new one. I mean, heard that theology. You may believe that. It's okay if you do. I'm not coming against you if you believe it. That's what some people believe. I believed that for years and years. I was taught that. This rapture of the church is secret, and bam, we're gone, and all these people are left. And if you make it good enough, you get a second chance. You may make it the second time. Second thing, kingdom theology. You believe that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. You believe that the earth is filled with the glory of God. And you believe that over the process of time, the whole world is going to be evangelized. And when it gets to that place, the Lord will come back and set up his kingdom on earth. You believe that. Or there's an even newer. You believe that God has come back in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and now he is, through people, but making kings and priests unto God, and they're ruling and reigning the earth, and they're taking dominion, and it's going to go on and on and on and on and on until it brings about what God wants on this planet. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a good thing to believe. It sounds to me like that will get me out of bed every morning and realize I got something to do on this planet besides eat and drink and be merry. I got something to do on this planet besides going to work and coming home and watching TV. I got something more to do than just hopping up in the morning. I got to get up in the morning and realize I'm an agent of transformation. I'm an agent of glorification of the earth. And I carry with me the presence of God, the living presence of God. And everywhere I go and everything I do, there's something coming out of me that's going to change anybody who comes in my presence. They're going to sense something and feel something that's different than what they sense and feel anywhere else, because there's a living presence of God in my life that I'm consciously aware of. And because I'm consciously aware of that, it's bringing about his presence. First, in Genesis 1, 27 through 28, it says, for God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry on the ground. In other words, we got one of those really down. Which one you think we really got down? Fruitful, multiply, and govern the earth. Which one of those you think we really got down? Multiply. Now, we got multiply down. That's fun. Come on. We're all grown-ups in here. Or we're going to be, we got this multiplication thing down, Keith. We don't mind multiplying. Or even trying. We don't mind the multiplication of it. But that's not all. He says, don't just multiply, be fruitful. And govern and reign. We multiply to teach them to govern and reign. Jet's going through this thing. I don't know if he's ready to learn and govern. I don't know if he's fighting jealousy or he's trying to learn how to govern and reign. But Mike's grandson, Grayson, comes over. Jet just got a problem with Grayson, just to tell you right now. Number one, I think he is jealous because Barbara held him one time. And Jet just kind of don't like that. So he's having a difficult time. So Grayson gets his yo-yo yesterday and carries it in the room. And Jet goes in and goes up to Crystal, his mom, and said, I got to have that yo-yo back. That's the only one I got. The other one's outside up in a tree. And I got to protect this one. I said, well, that's what kings do, I guess. Then a little bit while later, he gets his big airplane. And he goes back into the room where Grayson's at with the big airplane, walks up to Crystal one more time, says, I got to have that airplane back. That's my daddy's. It was given to him when he was a little boy, and I got to protect it. I think he's struggling too. I think he's having the works of the flesh, which is jealousy, and he's learning maybe how to govern and rule and reign. I'm saying this for a purpose because that's what kings do. That's what kings do. Kings govern and reign. But they do it in a certain way. Solomon was a king. And Solomon built a temple. And in 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3, after he'd built this temple and finished it, before this verse, he stands before God of heaven. And you got to... I don't know how you visualize these things in the Old Testament, but you can't see God. You can't see God. The Bible says no man has ever seen God and lived. You can't see God. He's invisible. He's spirit. He's fire. But you can't see him. So Solomon stands in front of this temple talking to a God he can't see. And he says stuff like this. God, now that we finished this temple, and this temple's for you. Now that we've done this, how many know that God's bigger than a temple? That's bigger than a temple. I was praying a prayer the other day, and I was asking God for some stuff, you know, just speaking some things. And I said to God, you know, this is for you. And then I stopped myself, Billy, and I said, God, this ain't for you. This is for me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it religious and sound spiritual that I'm doing it for you. This ain't for you. This is for me. And this is for, I was really something for us. And I was asking God for it. And you know what? When I said, God, this is really not for you. This is for me and us. You know what God said? That's good. He don't mind that. I was trying to be spiritual and religious about it. And God's saying, no, that's not for me. That's for you. Anyway. So he stands before this temple, this glorious temple, and he says, God, if certain things go awry and start going wrong, and if we petition you from this temple, will you come and straighten it out? If we go to war and we're fighting the enemy and we're losing and we stand in this temple and we petition you, will you show up? And if he said all that, it says, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven, burnt up the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And listen, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because, again, the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down, and they listened, the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshiped and praised the God, saying, He is good. His faithful love endures forever. I want you to just meditate about that just for a moment. His glorious presence filled the temple. Three times it said his glorious presence filled the temple. And then he said, and his love, his faithful love endures forever. Moses later on said to God, show me your glory. And he put him in the cleft of a rock. And the Bible says he caused all of his goodness to pass before him. That was his glory. The goodness, the mercy, the sweetness, the beauty of the God of the universe is his glory. Then he goes on to say, later on in that chapter, chapter 7 and verse 11, I've heard your prayer, chosen this temple place. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls or command grasshoppers to devour your crops or send plagues among you. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I've chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. All right, now look at me. God started in a garden. He went from a garden to a tabernacle. He went from a tabernacle to a temple. He went from a temple to the living temple, which was Christ. And he went from Christ to the temple for which you are. Now, when you read this, don't read this as a physical temple. How many know this building is not the dwelling place of God? This is just a sheep shed. It's what I call it. It's a sheep shed. It's where the sheep come to get fed. It's a sheep shed. This is not where he dwells. He dwells within. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And look what he says. From this temple, watch this. You got to get this. You got to get this. From this temple, if I will seek his what? His what? His what? Face. There's a proverb that says, wisdom, which is Christ, which is God, said in his right hand there's length of days, in his left hand there's health. But he didn't say seek his hands. He says seek his face. It's what he wants us to do. Not seek his gifts, seek his face. And he says, if you will turn from your wicked ways, what are your wicked ways? Your wicked thoughts. If you seek his face, turn from your wicked ways, he says, I will hear because you, listen, I've chosen you. I'm paraphrasing this, but this is what it is today in the new covenant. I've chosen you, you, Billy, you, Susan, you, David. I've chosen you to be the place that I dwell. And my ears are going to be open, attentive to everything you say. Everything you say, my ears are going to be attentive to. For I've chosen you to be set apart to be holy. Holy don't mean you walk around with a Bible in your hand praying prayers all day long. Holy means you've been set apart for God. You're set apart. You're different because God's made you different. He just set you apart. And he said, I love this. And this is a place where my name is honored. He is so thrilled with dwelling in you. He says, I'm honored. I'm honored to be in you. Wow. Can you tell when you go to somebody's house if they're honored to have you or not? You ever been somewhere and you knew you weren't welcome? I know some of you have never been nowhere like that. Y'all, everybody just loves you and brings you in. And where you go, they just hug and... You know, he says, but in you, I'm honored to be there. Now watch this. I will always watch over it. For it is dear to my heart. Gosh. I'll always watch over this temple because it's dear to my heart. God put Adam in the garden and he put him in there to watch over. That's what kings do. See, kings protect and serve. Do you know that's what God's called you to do every day of your life? To get up and protect and serve your surroundings. And you know what? Saul and David will be the first to tell you, when you become king and you forget to serve and protect, you're going to lose your kingdom. Kings aren't to stand and dominate. Kings rule to serve. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to be a servant of all. He said, in the other world, your masters dominate over you and they rule over you. He says, not in my kingdom. In my kingdom, the greatest of you will be the servant. You're called to serve. That's my kingly task. If Adam had realized, see, he was there. He could have protected Eve. He's there, but something, I don't know what happened. Maybe he, I don't know what happened to Adam for a moment, but he, for some moment, he lost the one command and task he was given. Watch over this thing and protect it. Watch over it. Protect it. I've got a life that every day I get up, I've got to watch over this and protect it. I don't know if you're getting this or not, church. That's a grave responsibility that I have every day. I got to watch over this, and I got to protect this, because this is where the temple of the Most High God is. And the glorification of this earth and transformation of this earth, I've got to protect this and eat from the tree of life every single day of my life. Protect this. That's what kings do. He says we're priests. Your priestly task is to establish some boundaries in your life. Just establish some boundaries in your life. Oh, I don't like that. Do you like that? I don't like that. But if you realize how important it is, you won't mind doing that. You don't mind doing that. You're a priest. Every single one of us are priests in this temple. You're your priest. I'm not your priest. Wow. Never said that before. I'm not your priest. Years ago, I went to visit a man, and I was young and had this warrior mentality, you know. And I go knocking on his door. He hadn't been to church in a long time, and I knock on the door, and he came to the door, and he said, I'm coming back to church. I said, good. He said, I just waited to see how long it'd take for you to come see me. I said, for real? He said, yeah. I mean, he was just that way. Yep. I said to myself, soon as you come see me, I'll be back. I'm young and a little, you know how you are. I did exactly this. I stepped back from him like this, and I pulled my sleeves up. I said, you see any nail scars in this hand? Do you see any nail scars here? He said, of course not. I said, I didn't die for you. I'm not your priest. You better realize you're your priest. And I didn't say that because I didn't have that revelation now, but you have it right now. You better realize who your priest is. You better realize. I had it back then, just didn't know I had it. You are your own priest, and you better be priestly to yourself. It's been the best stuff I've said in a long time. That is good. You are your priest. Wow. I did a priestly thing. I was coming to church this morning, and I did a priestly thing to priestly me. And I just started telling Buren how holy he is, how righteous he is. I got to tell him here that I have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's who I am. And I told myself that because I'm my priest. And you better tell yourself that because you're your priest. Okie dokie. You're a king, you're a priest, you're a prophet. You're a prophet. Moses, they came to Moses one time and said, Moses, everybody's prophesying in the camp. He says, I wish to God all of his people were prophets. And the fact of the matter is that they are. I'm going to tell you what prophets do. Amos 3:7. I love this. Amos 3:7. Did I give you that one? I may not have. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. What that means is that you stand in the counsel of God. You stand in the counsel of God. This is heavy. You ready? God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? No. I'm not going to hide from Abraham what I'm about to do. God wants you in his counsel. I was part of a denomination years ago. And all denominations, all of them have councils. And they have conventions. And I would go to general councils and I'd go to conventions. And in those councils and in those conventions, you know what they do? They set boundaries and rules of what that denomination stands for. They will, over a process of time, sometimes change something. They will, where they used to not, would ordain a woman. Later on, they'll ordain you now. They changed. In that council of people, they made a change. Prophets were able to talk to God at times and say to God, would you change your mind? I read this statement the other day. Well, when I read it, I kind of backed up from it. It scared me a little bit. Sometimes prophets didn't say, God, thy will be done. They said, thy will be changed. Ooh. I know that's deep. I start not to even say it. God, Moses, I'm going to destroy them all. And you're going to be the new Abraham. Boy, don't do that. Don't do that. God changed his mind. I was in a hospital, it's probably 25 years ago. It's in Emory Hospital in Atlanta. Never prayed this prayer before, never prayed it since. Never. Don't even know where the prayer came from. Praying for a man with leukemia. He was Dave Hunt's wife's father. Awesome, awesome man of God in the kingdom. And he'd been prayed over numerous times. And I did what I'm supposed to do. I just started praying for him. And this is the prayer that came out of my mouth. God, if you have made any other decision besides healing him, would you change your mind? Would you change your mind? And I'll never ever forget. And there were probably three or four, I mean, really mighty people of God in that room. And there was this glory that just settled in. There was this presence, this glorious presence of God. And I think it came about because somebody was willing to approach God and ask God to change his mind if he had chosen any other way. We stand in the, you can, if you will listen to God, you will stand in the counsel of God. You see, in that denomination that I was in, they sent papers out that this was what they were going to pass in this particular convention. And I stood before our congregation on a Sunday night back then and made a decision to pull out of a denomination because of the decision that they were going to make that, number one, I didn't think was biblical. I didn't like any part of that. And we came out of denomination because of a council. Now, for them, that council was okay. You with me? Some of you are. For them, Billy, I wasn't being rebellious to their council. For them, it was good for them. It wasn't good for me. This church was not going to go down that road. And that council, I heard another council because I'm a prophet and a priest and a king to God. And I heard God say in our council meeting, come out. Wow. Because I was standing in the council of God. I was standing in the council of God. You're a king, you're a priest, you're a prophet. Don't ever let anybody tell you anything else. That you can rule and reign on earth. That you can set your boundaries. That you can hear God speak to you on a daily basis. Isn't that good stuff? John 15:15, read this scripture the other week. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. But I'm going to call you friends. You know who are the greatest private counselors of kings? Friends. If you read the Old Covenant, you'll find out every king had friends. Their friend was their closest counselor. Their friend. God says, you're no longer my slaves, you're my friend, because I'm going to tell you everything that I'm going to do. I love God. I love a creator of this universe, king of all kings, lord of all lords, and says, I won't do anything without telling you about it. Wow. I won't do anything without telling you about it. I was treated pretty bad for making that call. Got caught on the carpet. Was really very unhealthy, not unhealthy, but really troubling times in my life for about a year. Was threatened to be sued, carried to court, and had to go see a lawyer. I'm here. I am. I had to go see a lawyer. Thank God it didn't go that far, but it was headed that way. One day, God spoke to me, and you remember this, Billy. God said, write him a check for $10,000. I had to come home to the eldership because I was out of town. You remember that, Keith? And I got with the eldership, and I said, God told me to write a check for $10,000 to this movement. And they looked at me without batting an eye. God said, do it, do it. I tell what Billy said to me. Billy said, you hadn't written it yet? Well, you better get on with the program. God tells you to do something, you better do it. And so he wrote a check for $10,000. I love that group of people. I love them. And one day I'm headed to Buffalo, New York. And I walk out the door and I have my suitcase and I'm pulling my suitcase. And I get on the carport and I look around at Barbara. I says, I'm not going to Buffalo. I do not want to go to Buffalo, New York. I came back in the house, was going down the hall. Barbara stopped me and she said, "Buren, I don't know why, but you're supposed to go to Buffalo, New York." And for one time, I listened to her. For once in my life, I finally listened to Barbara. I said, "Okay." I go to New York, Buffalo, New York, and two things happen. I'm sitting next to this minister. He looks over at me. He says, and we just had gotten acquainted. He said, "You know what's the greatest thing I ever heard anybody say?" I said, "No, but I'd really like to know." He said, "You never want to get vengeance. It costs God his only son." Whew. Then about 2 days later, he says, "Can I take you to lunch?" And he knew me and I didn't know him. He said, "Can I take you to lunch?" So he took me to lunch and was going back to his church. And he says, "Buren, I want you to know something. Your name in this denomination is one of the most highly thought and honored names there is. Because of what you did when you gave that denomination $10,000 just as a love gift of love you, but we got to go this way." He says, "Today, your name, and every time it's spoken, and every time there's a situation where some other church is pulling out, your name's brought up of how it was done in an appropriate way." I came home with a peace in my heart that I hadn't had for 2 years. You know why? Because I stood in the counsel of God and heard God say something that I needed to hear God say. Let's stand together. And I guess one of the things I'm saying to us, church, and part of it's just reminding you, maybe I'm reminding you in a little different way, but I'm just reminding you again of who you are. Reminding me again of who I am. We're kings, we're priests, we're prophets. We're a kingdom of priests and prophets. We're kings, priests, and prophets of God. Temples of the Holy Spirit. Temples of God. Where is God? Right here. Right here. If you can just realize he's right here. Right here. Whew. That I ain't got to beat my head against the wall and hit the floor with my fist begging and pleading for God that's somewhere out there in the universe to come. He's already coming. He's already here and he's present right now. And he says, I'm attentive to what you're saying. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm listening because you're dear. You're dear to my heart. You're dear to my heart. You are dear to my heart. And so this morning as we come and we take communion, would you, through this process of coming, be reminded. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance. Would you just remember who you are while we're taking this together today? Would you do that? Would you just start remembering, "I'm a king, I'm a priest, I'm a prophet unto God"? Would you remind yourself of who you are because of who he is? And that's the difference. That's the difference. And that's why I can't look at anybody from this high to this high not seeing that God's just as much in him, as me, just as much in you as me. Not a little God and a big God, but the same God is in every single one. That's why I remind Dusty every now and then, you better stop talking to that little God man right there like that. You think that's just little Jet, that's God's in that little boy. You better watch who you talking to. Watch how you yell. And anyway, the elders are coming down and you'll come and receive your elements and go back to your seat, then we'll receive it together. I want to honor somebody this morning. Of course, Jim Lewis, he makes these walking sticks and gives them one every so often to give away. I keep one up here in case I want to grab it. This is my anointing stick, if you ever see me. If I ever feel like I'm losing it, I keep it up here because I'm going to go grab that stick. If you ever see me grab that stick, you know I'm lost. And I'm grabbing my anointed stick to get it back. But this one says, Father's blessings, and says, at the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, Ephesians 1:10. Good scripture. I want to give this to Jerry Leonard. Jerry, you've been such a faithful, you was part of a church merger, and I'm going to tell you something else I've learned about Jerry. Years ago, we had some theology changes, and we had a lot of people. We had a good bit to leave because they couldn't change the theology. And Jerry still tells me this every now and then. He says, I told them if they find something better, come back and get me. And he'll tell me that at least once a year. And he says, you know what? Nobody's ever come back to get me. Thank you, Jerry, for your encouragement all these years. And the night in which he was betrayed, he didn't get mad, hoop and holler, criticize, complain. And the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me. And in the same night, he took the cup and says, this is the cup of blessing, not a cup of judgment. I got to stop preaching. Cup of blessing, this do in remembrance of me. You're going to change the world, but we're not going to change it by complaining and criticizing and throwing judgments around at each other. We're going to change it with love and mercy and grace.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Many of you give online. Many of you give in an offering envelope. Some of you just drop a check. Your faithfulness allows us to continue doing what we're doing in this community, touching people's lives, making a difference. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Don't forget that this Wednesday night is First Wednesday. It's the first Wednesday night of September. And so we will have worship and then message and prophetic ministry. I want you to plan for that. It'll be awesome. Pastor Buren will be back this Wednesday night. So the last five Wednesday nights have been awesome with Dr. Ralph. And there will be a at the table Thursday or Wednesday this month. The third Wednesday will be at the table. So we'll have a meal and have more information about that. So let's pray over the message. And then after we pray, we're going to stand and we'll worship before we're dismissed. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord, that we can come to your house. Lord, we can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms, our gifts. Lord, I thank you for every person that was ministering to our children this morning. Lord, give a special blessing upon them for that. Lord, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and let's worship.